Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift live from Atlanta Falcons training camp out here in Flowery Branch. My name is Mike. That's Allie. That's Bo. The commissioner, G, just got a douse of raindrops falling off the tent onto his back, but he's being a man about it. He's weathering the storm.
It was like a sniper got him. He like Forrest Gump was like, something bit me.
The wind just jumped up and snatched the 92.9 The Game tent, and just all of a sudden G was just doused. But it's all good, man. Appreciate you guys so much for hanging out with us here on this, I would say, beautiful Monday morning, but I'm not going to lie
beautiful.
To the people.
Hey, hold on,
no. Lie to the people.
Yes, no. It's all about, I know this guy. He's always telling me, hey, man, it's all about perspective.
It's relative.
We are at Falcons training camp watching the guys work out right now in the room, in the weight room. And we're alive. Football season is here. There's a football game, maybe not considered a real one to some people as far as that it counts. But that's being played in a couple of days. I mean, it's a great day. Only problem is it's a little bit wet. It's a little bit chilly. But you know what? At least it's not hot.
Yeah, I agree with you. It can be a great day and not be beautiful, but I'm with you on that, man. We'll get into a conversation coming up in just a second about Caden Ellis. We want to talk about his importance to this Atlanta Falcons defense and Jeff Ulbrich's defense and everything else going on. I will say, but it is officially the first day of school in my house, and I say officially only just now because I just got the photos, and yours is young enough to where I don't know if you realize this is going to go on yet, but – the chalkboard photos in front of the door.
Oh, yeah, I know. I
Ridge's
see those.
First day of pre-K. And his favorite things right now are Paw Patrol and Hot Wheels.
Hey.
And I'm like, you know what, man? My wife, like I said, takes him every single day to school, and I'm not a part of it. But I officially just got the photos of them in front of the front door, and so that means it's the first day of school. So if you are on your way to the first day of school, I hope you have a good school year, man. And we'll be talking more and more in the coming weeks about high school football from around the area. I think it kicks up this Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Some of the week zero
it's like the jamborees.
Classic jamboree things.
Yeah.
And then obviously we've got the Corky Kale coming up next weekend that I'll be a part of. While we're on that topic, speaking of being a part of weekend things, I think now's as good a time as any to, before we get into this Falcons conversation, to let people know that you, sir, will be part of the pregame show along with me.
Yeah, it's you and me now.
Falcons Radio Network pregame show. Yeah. How about that? Are you on the scale from 1 to 10, how excited are you to work an extra day with me?
Well, I'm already working an extra day. I mean, it's not like I'm not working.
With
you?
Me.
Probably more than you are to work with me. that's what I've gathered. I'm pumped because, I feel like – and I've obviously produced the pregame – in some sorts since like 2010. That's when I joined the network. And so I'm on and off, and people think I just do in-game, but I also have a hand in it all because I'm the EP of the entire network. So it's really weird for me to when I was asked to do it, because I don't make the only decision on personnel. It's not like I anointed myself to do this, right?
Yeah. Guess what? New co-host for pregame.
Yeah. You know what? I'm taking over. I'm not Vince McMahon. Like, I'm taking down. You know, like, this isn't the Kevin Nash, Hulk Hogan, where they would bill themselves as the winners in WCW back
in
the day.
You're not going to spray paint anybody's back with NWO.
Yeah. Well, I might spray somebody. I might do that. But when I was asked, I was like, man, I've went from being like the low man on the totem pole to hosting. I'm excited because network football shows you can nerd out.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there are times, Allie, before you joined us, and it was just Mike and I, that he would say something and I would go down this road, and then he would be like, have to correct me, or he would have – it would take him somewhere. And the next thing I know, we're probably having a conversation that people are like,
what the heck are they talking
can
about?
You just like make a joke or something? This has gotten really nerdish about the sport, and I think you can do that a little bit more in network. And also, I get to talk about the Falcons even more, and I get to do it on the road, and I can give weather reports and grass reports when we get playing a grass field, because I love doing that. I always go down, walk the grass, walk the field.
As long as you don't chew on it like Les Miles used to, I think we'll be good.
I was going to ask that because I feel like there were rumblings of you trying the grass, like eating a little bit of it. Is that true?
No, I never.
Maybe it was a Dave Archer joke.
Yeah.
okay.
That is a very Dave Archer
joke. I don't know what's real and what's fiction sometimes with you, Bo.
Well, hold on. You've known me long enough to know I don't necessarily – I'm not a grass eater.
Isn't it funny, though, because I have known you since pretty much your first day as an intern.
Yeah.
You used to get in trouble for talking to me too much, and now you're on the Atlanta Falcons radio network, and they're telling you to talk.
Yeah. and I'm told to talk to you every day.
Not only that, but you want to talk about a full circle moment. We were talking to Grant on Friday, so now your husband is on the postgame show.
Yeah.
It's wild, a full circle moment. So, yeah. I think that's interesting. I wanted to make sure we go ahead and bring that up today, that it will be me and Squidbilly doing the Falcons Radio Network pregame show that will start 2 hours. So you'll see us, you'll hear us, I'm sorry, at 5 o'clock this Friday before the Falcons preseason game, and then your halftime and post will be hosted by none other than Grant McCauley. I'll be a part of that postgame as well. So, it's game week, guys. It's game week, and we do get to nerd out, which we'll probably do in just 1 second. Talking about Caden Ellis.
Absolutely. It's really, really exciting that we're finally here. I feel like we've been talking about it forever, but it's finally here. By the way, this hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. So I did want to bring up training camp over the weekend. Some of the notes coming out. Michael Penix Jr. had a tough day, going 8 of 21. What do you make of that as you kind of
digest,
and process that information?
Yeah, I think that Zach Robinson did a good job of bringing this up. And I know we've still got more Zach Robinson cuts to get to, but I'm going to jump in front of one real quick because I think that he did a good job of talking about this. And there's so many opportunities out there in the media viewing period for you to look at Michael Penix throwing a crossing route. And I think this is exactly what Zach was talking about in his presser over the weekend. But it's maybe he's putting the ball where only his guy can get it. Maybe there's good coverage. Maybe it's a situation where it's a 2 versus a 1 wide receiver. I don't know. Maybe there's a situation where this guy's blanketed and he's putting it only where his guy can catch it, so he's not putting it in harm's way. And from watching on the sideline, where we get a chance to view so often, that probably looks like a bad throw. But I think when Zach Robinson's running it back and looking at it on film, he's going, you know, that was a really good placement of that ball. It might have been an incompletion, but it's really good placement of the ball. And it's just one of those things, those caveats, that it's so frustrating to read when you look at, you know, the things as far as the 8 of 13 and the people going, oh, you know, it's, hey, not a good day. You have no clue. You have no clue what he's being asked to do, what the situation is, how many did he throw out of bounds in a 2-minute drill. It's there's just not enough nuance to those conversations on the socials.
Yeah, I understand how the importance of practice. So miss me with the tweets about, well, you don't understand, you know, in practice what you – what ends up doing on game day and all that kind of stuff. But then I also think that if you're out here, and look, it's Josh Kendall, Mark Romani's job, those guys' jobs to report, training camp stuff, right? People want to see that. They want to hear it. But if you're keeping up with stats and some guy's like, well, that's only like 54%, so inaccurate, then you're probably taking – not only this too seriously, but you probably take life a little bit overly ridiculous. Everything in your life is too serious as well, because it's not that big of a deal. I don't know if it means anything good for your defense or it means anything bad for your offense. I don't know if I'd take anything away from it other than you would like to see them, sharpen things. But I think Mike had a good thought. Was like, Arch and I saw an interception right on Thursday. Y'all were both standing there too. We all did.
Right.
And I was like, look, Penix is visibly upset with himself. And he's like, yeah, because that's on him. That one's on him. He didn't put enough air into the ball. And it was. Ball was underthrown. That's why Natron Brooks stepped in front of it.
Yep. Good play.
But Mike's right also, like, where he's like, hey, you know, some of Zach's is talking about going back and watching ball placement. That's good, that's bad. You know, you don't know unless you can watch the play on replay, and then you know exactly what happens. But it just happens in front of you. You might think it's bad.
Well, and Mike, you alluded to this a little bit earlier. Caden Ellis, he's been fantastic all camp as a run stopper. And on Friday, he had a pair of sacks. Are you surprised by this?
No.
No.
And I think Josh Kendall did a great job. And kind of followed up our conversation the other day, and I saw Josh Kendall put out an article about Caden Ellis and talked about the NFL's most efficient pass rusher, and he is. I mean, statistically, he is, but he does so many other things, and you can hear it. I mean, we talked to him, what was that, Tuesday? I think that aired on Wednesday's show, and those conversations with him are so – you want to talk about lack of of nuance in the conversation about Kirk Cousins' completion percentage or Michael Penix's completion percentage. There's not enough nuance in the conversation about Caden Ellison. You heard it come out in our interview with him last week where he's talking about learning different defenses and knowing schematically how he's being attacked and understanding how offenses and when offenses are going to come at him. So it almost kind of goes all the way back into the conversation we were just having about Michael Penix. Michael Penix in the completion percentage, there's third downs, right? There's tight red zone. There's things like that. You have no idea when you see, oh, he was 8 of 20. You have no idea what the situation was. It could have been a fourth down. It could have been 2 minute, where he's trying to do something special with the ball, where there's really no reason not to throw an interception at the end of a 2 minute drill. Caden Ellis on the flip side, getting sacks. Absolutely, and you can just bet that there were tight reds and third downs over the weekend where he was going to be able to get in the backfield and kind of do his thing. It's just he's so fun to watch, and he's really a Swiss Army knife in terms of what he can do in the NFL on defense.
It was interesting to see him on the field be an absolute beast, but we did have that conversation with him, and such a nice guy. Like,
great dude.
On the field, totally different personality, totally different. So James Pierce Jr. is another one that's been having a lot of headlines coming out about him. Apparently had a nice batted down pass of a Penix attempt. Again, surprised by this? No.
No, but I'm also not thinking, well, see, all pro. I'm not trying to poo-poo things in practice, and I don't want people to take away from this conversation, well, why do they even go up there? Why should I go up there? Because nothing I see matters. That's not the case. What it tells me is that James Pierce is being active, and he's being active. One of the things that drives me nuts. So here's what I do. I'm spinning this positive. That's driven me nuts in the past with some of our guys up front is go watch last year's tape with Matthew Judon. Matthew Judon would take himself out of a play. If he didn't win right away, he would allow himself to be blocked out of the play. He at times was active with his hands. I'll give him that. But never quitting on a play to me is what a batted ball is. Or it also is one where you kind of read the play what's happening and you know to disengage to try to stay off because the ball's about to come out. And you can put your hands up. I think it's never quitting on a play. I love to see the activeness up front.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be real with you. As an offensive lineman during practice, you're going, come on, dude, really? Are you jumping? Like, why don't we just work on our pass rush moves? You know what I mean? Like, why are we jumping in practice to bat it down? And here's the other thing I'll say about Matthew Judon. You'd bring up last year. I think that Matthew Judon did quit on a play at times in terms of batting down passes. I think what happened is Matthew Judon would go into games with the understanding of I got to rush the quarterback. And with us playing off coverage so many times and giving huge cushions, how many times a quarterback just straight up catches it and gets rid of it? Because we're playing off so far in the secondary. And Judon, I think, gets tired at a certain point where he's like, man, I've rushed 4 or 5 times really, really hard off the edge, and the ball is gone way before I can get there. I'm just going to stand here and see if I can bat it down while we're playing off coverage. And a lot of that does go into it. I mean, there is some opportunity and situation where you go, okay, ball's going to come out quick. I got to be ready for this. But I'm not trying to overblow it with you. Like, work on your edge moves. It's nice to have the awareness to bat it down, and I hope that results in tip balls and interceptions. But at the same time, we are counting on James Pierce to get sacks, and hopefully those are some of the totals that will spike as soon as we get to, quote-unquote, real football.
Were there any other things coming out of practice and training camp over the weekend that you spotted that were a little bit surprising or takeaways from it?
I wish. No, I don't think there was much surprising. One of the things that I noticed last week, and I'm going to butcher his name if I try to say it, the defensive tackle or defensive end from Miami started getting a little more, Simeon Burrow, I think is his name. He started getting some run earlier, and I think I've started to see his name kind of pop up more and more along with some of those rookies. And we've talked about undrafted free agents on the show and how unlikely it is that you have 3 or 4 on an opening day roster, but, we continue to see people begin to shine. And, there are also vets doing that. David Sills is one of the names that continues to pop up as well that you heard from Zach Robinson. So I wouldn't say shocking, but just interesting more than less.
Would you use the word shine on a day like today? Will people be shining?
Listen, you were gone a minute ago.
Yeah,
I'll just throw that out there. Okay. I said it's not really a beautiful morning, and Bo jumped all over me. He was like, hey, man, glass half full. Like, it's a beautiful day. We're getting football. And I was like, who is this guy?
You know what's
what
funny?
What are we doing?
As soon as we mentioned that it was raining, 35% chance of rain, it's 100%, blah, 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 all of a sudden the mist started going away, and it is turning out to be a pretty nice morning. It's calming down.
It's still misting.
Is it
glass half full.
Glass half full.
You just climbed all over me about this. What are we doing?
Two things can be true.
Well, coming up, we're going to go in the huddle with the Micah Parsons drama. Get you caught up on that. That's next with the Morning Shift live from Falcons Training Camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the
Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. We are live from Falcons Training Camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the studio. Gordon is out here with us, keeping us on air. We're going in the huddle in a moment. We got to talk about Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones, that whole situation. But I do want to give you guys some good news, because we always get upset about these reboots of movies. They're never as good. The sequels. Last week we were talking about Happy Gilmore, and there were mixed reviews on that. I went and saw Naked Gun over the weekend with Liam Neeson.
All right.
I am so excited to say that I thought it was delightful and only 90 minutes long.
That's a beautiful thing.
That's
a beautiful thing.
I don't know when a movie studios decided movies needed to be 2 to 3 hours. I don't like that decision. That 90-minute window is perfect. So I thought it was light, amazing. Pam Anderson did a great job. Liam Neeson, and apparently they have a budding romance in real life now, which is... Wrap your mind around that, going from Tommy Lee to Liam Neeson. Interesting combination there. But as soon as I posted that I had seen it, Abe Gordon hit me up and said he thought the exact same thing. That it was like, he was like 3 minutes in, like, all right, I'm done with this. So if you are a Naked Gun fan, by all means, go see it, because I thought it was awesome.
I was curious if that kind of humor still lands. You know, that is the slapstick of the slapstick comedy.
There's often a question of like how to get my husband to laugh. And that is it.
Yeah.
There was one joke that, like, if you still repeat it to him right now, he will cackle. That was said within this movie. It's that dry, dry, dry humor. That slapstick is funny, though. It's just great.
Yeah. Was it a reboot in the series, or was it a straight remake of the Naked Gun, 33 and a half?
No. Liam Neeson is Leslie's son.
Okay. Okay, because I was going to say, who played the OJ role?
They did have a joke about that.
was like my first thing. It's like, wait, is this a complete remake? Because I have purposely kind of stayed away from this. And not because I don't want to see it. I do want to watch it. But I just was like, I don't know. I didn't want to get disappointed right off the bat of how they were doing it. Because I do want to just wait and watch it when it comes on. Hulu, Netflix, HBO Max, Paramount, Amazon Prime, whichever one it comes on, or a new one that maybe I don't even have.
I mean, you can buy it at home right now for like $26. You should see it, though, because it was actually shot outside of Colony Square. So it was kind of cool to see our building like in the background.
Wow. Look, I went to movies over the weekend, too, but I'm going to save that content for part of Mic'd Up. But I, too, went to a 90-minute movie.
Okay.
And it was exceptional that it was 90 minutes. It was my favorite part of the whole thing. I was yes.
You want people back in theaters, make those movies 90 minutes.
Not only that, but the time slot I went to, the previews were like 5 minutes long.
Nice.
Yes. Yes.
I probably did the most gen. I don't know what generation I'm in. But it was.
You're a millennial.
I probably pulled a Gen Z move because I was working on the golf cart. And had the iPad up and running because I couldn't get my garage TV to work. So I had my iPad up and running, hooked to a golf speaker, watching Bloodsport while I was working on the golf cart. Just as background
of all things,
noise.
Bloodsport.
It was on one of those. It was on the Amazon. One of the MGM thing. It was just honestly. It was literally just on as background. I needed background noise
to keep
my mind kind of. You know, you get frustrated. I get frustrated working on stuff, so then I throw and slam and cuss stuff. Okay. So it eases.
So Bloodsport fits in. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's go in the huddle. All right, we all saw the headline. Micah Parsons has requested a trade, but Jerry Jones is saying it's just a part of the negotiation, and he is not losing sleep over this.
As always, in any relationships, there are different moods at different times of your relationship. That's what it is. Don't lose any sleep over.
So just to be clear,
that's one thing I would say to our fans: don't lose any sleep over.
Just to be clear, you don't feel the relationship has changed at all from the Super Bowl, Big 12.
Again, I know my attitude, and my attitude is the same one I've had. I think the world of Micah. He's an outstanding player. He can really help us, but he's got to fit in with what's in the best interest of the team, and that's what the negotiation's all about.
All right, would you be offended by this at all, if you're Mike, if you're in negotiations?
Oh, I'd be – everything that Jerry said so far I'd be offended by. I mean, it's just the way it is. And, look, the good part is Jerry knows, having been through this multitude of times, that when you sign a – you know, a guy to, I don't know, $250 million contract or whatever it may be, that they're going to be all smiles either way. It doesn't matter what you said about their mother 2 weeks ago. So it just kind of is what it is. But, I mean, look, I think we all agreed earlier when we talked in the show that he's going to still be a Dallas Cowboy, you know, for a long time. Let me hit Bo with this. If I were to tell you James Pierce, a 2026 third and a 2027 first, would you do it for Micah Parsons? James Pierce, 2026 third and a 2027 first. Would you do it?
Probably, yeah.
I would too.
I mean, I know there's a lot of guys in their car screaming at me right now. Probably. What do you mean? Well, I mean, Micah Parsons has got 4 years in the league, and you're going to be paying him $45 million a year. I think I'd still probably do it, because I think that would put you immediately as a Super Bowl contender. But today, I would do everything in the world possible to not give up James Pierce. I would give up the next 4 years first-round picks for Micah.
Yeah. There's not much of a price that I wouldn't give
without up. Without giving up a player. Is what I mean.
How about the same deal I just asked you, and you throw in Tyler Allgeier?
No Pierce.
No Pierce and Allgeier plus what I just asked. The 27.
Well, now you're just getting now they're now I'm how? No, I mean I don't know at that. Yeah, well, yes, but not if I don't want to give up Pierce, and it's mainly because I want Parsons. Don't get me wrong, but I hesitate to give up a player with making as little as he had it could have an impact to pay $45 million. But then again, the impact of a Micah Parsons who just 11 sacks. Why do I need to throw an Allgeier if I'm giving you essentially two first rounds and a
because I don't think the Cowboys – I don't think that they want to hit the reset button. So as much as draft picks probably mean, I don't know that they're looking at it right now and not thinking they're in their window. So I think players actually add more value to what the Cowboys would ask nowadays. That's the only reason I throw in – and Allgeier and a Pierce in that conversation.
Give me my third back, and I'll give you Allgeier.
All right, so Bills running back James Cook sat out of Bills practice over the weekend for the first time and said it was because of business. So it sounds like he could be a hold-in until he gets a new deal.
Makes sense. He's had a really good career up to this point, and he is a guy that's going to be doing a lot of money. We know how, you know, the running backs are viewed when it comes to the NFL right now. I mean, look, Khalil Shakir is up there. He's their, you know, number one wide receiver as it sits right now, and he's hurt. And, look, I don't know what the upside of this offense is, but you can't continue to ask Josh Allen to just do everything. James Cook was the one guy in that offense taking things off his shoulders. So, yeah, he's got some leverage there.
Come on, Mike. They're re-signing Gabe Davis. I mean, all's well.
I think they should kick the tires on Terry McLaurin, but that's a whole other conversation for another day.
Well,
he would make a lot of sense in Buffalo.
Yeah, but there's your talk about paying James. I think that James Cook is more important to getting back on the field with money wise than trading for Terry McLaurin for Buffalo.
I agree. I don't know that you couldn't have both, but yeah, I agree with you on that.
And Amari Cooper retired over the weekend.
Yeah, speaking of Bills wide receivers.
Strange to me.
He's had a good career. What's he been in, 10 years now?
Eight, nine.
Longer than that?
I think nine.
Oh. Yeah.
Maybe 10, I think nine.
He caught a touchdown when he was a freshman at 2012 SEC title game. So, yeah, you're probably about right.
It's weird to me because I think that that's a guy that has two, three years easily left.
Right.
I don't see as a guy that's not – taking care of his body. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's something ailing him that, you know, has not been public and kind of we hear about.
He's never struck me as the guy that's like grinding throughout the offseason. I think he has a lot of natural gifts. I think he did a lot of good things with the NFL, but he doesn't strike me as like, you know, videos of James Harrison through the offseason. I don't think that's Amari Cooper. And I think, look, man, it's training camps are rough. I think when you start looking at it going, oh, okay, I got to show up out there and do this every single day, like, whew, that's tough when you've got your bag already.
Is he a guy that you thought would have done more?
Yes and no. I mean, he had a good career. He really did. I mean, he played for a multitude of teams, so I think that kind of waters down what the numbers actually were. I think if he had been with one team his whole career, you'd be like, man, that was one of the greats. But he wasn't, and so you don't look at him that way.
Well, and coming up, we're going to get into the Speedway Classic. Breaking news, the Braves won on a Sunday, Mike. They won on a Sunday.
I know, man. I know. Doesn't count, though.
Yes, it does.
It was scheduled for Saturday.
Plus, we've got a Mike Jeff on the way.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the conversations I had over the weekend. I have a buddy from New Jersey that said something that made my skin crawl. And I got to know if it's because he's from New Jersey or maybe his parents just messed up. I'll hit you guys with that on the other side of the break.
That is next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the morning shift live from Falcons training camp up in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is nice and warm back at the studio. Gordon out here with us, keeping us on air. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And look, yes, we've mentioned it was a little bit rainy. I swear as soon as we said it, it kind of cleared up a little bit. And fans are in line. Just make sure to dress warm and you'll be good for training camp today.
I just want to state the obvious, but I'm sure y'all already know this, but I just want to state this for the listeners. You know who is extremely happy today? It's those guys that are about 20 feet behind us in the weight room right now that are tired of 108-degree heat indexes and are going to actually have a chill in the air and a little bit of mist and no sun when they step out on the practice field here in just a little bit. They are probably over the freaking moon right now when they're looking outside.
You know, there's some guy right now standing in the line with his kid or driving up here with his kid, and he's like, and his kid's like, it's cold, Dad. I don't want to go, or it's rainy. He's like, son! This is football weather right here. Hell, it should be colder.
My wife is already getting mad at me these days with how I talk to my son, who turns, you know, 5 years old in 2 weeks. And, of course, my daughter is three, and she is my absolute princess and angel and everything else. I mean, just can do no wrong the way she looks at me and talks to me. My son, I'm like, hey, boy, better toughen up. Like, my wife's like, he is four. He is four. Calm down. I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
I'm outside Friday.
Tuck that lip in.
Dude, I'm out in the garage Friday night, and when I decided I had to take the other half of the golf cart off, I had to take the whole front end off. Now the it's completely broken down now, by the way.
Probably looks like a modified car.
Yeah. And Amy comes out, and she's like, hey, I gotta do some things. Can she sit with you? And she's in her bouncy. And I'm like, yeah. So I turned TV on, like, one of those – Paul Light Patrol shows, right? I don't know what it was. It's something on. And I've got the mechanic.
Did you say Paul White Patrol?
Paul Like. Paul Patrol.
Paul, okay. I thought you said Paul White, like the giant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
yes.
What?
Yes. The big show's on. Whoa, they call him? No.
Yeah.
No, but she's sitting there in like the bounce chair in the garage. And I've got the mechanic lamp on. And I've got it on. And I'm like, oh, you suck. And I look over, and she's, like, looking at me. I'm like, I'm not going to say it. No, I'm just like, I have full-on adult conversations with my child. Not, like, language-wise, but, like, just, like, she knows everything. Like I do with my dog. Like, I talk to my dog like it speaks English and talks back to me. And Amy will come downstairs and be like, who are you talking to? And I was like, Sprinkles? Melrose? She's like, okay, whatever. There's something wrong with you.
It just brings me, and I know we're going to get to Braves and Mike, though. I got to tell Allie this because she was not part of this. Now, we've been on air for, I don't know, 2.5 years doing the show. Mm-hmm. My daughter is three change, right? And so one of the first, I don't know, in the first few months that I knew Bo, I had to ask him for a ride to pick up my car. It was in the shop.
Yeah.
And I had to put my daughter in the car with me because she was, you know, I don't know, 6 months old at the time or something like that, maybe a year. But handing my daughter to Bo so that I could put her car seat into Bo's truck was the funniest thing you've ever seen. It was like she might as well have had some nuclear radiation coming off of her. Bo was like holding her at arm's distance, just standing there. Like, I don't want to get too close to her. I don't know if she's going to cry. And she was fine, but it was the funniest thing watching Bo just walk around with arms straight out in front of him, Frankenstein style with my daughter. He was like, I'm not sure what to do here.
I'm not overly fond of other people's kids. And look, Mike's got great kids. And don't get me wrong. I don't know.
It's the least shocking thing I've heard all day.
For me, it's weird. I'm just like, grab her and like hold her like she's my kid. I mean, I'd probably be more opt to do that now. Because
I was going to say, you'd be fine now.
I'm just kind of like, whatever. I mean, you know, I just kind of like.
It was either that or letting her sit in the shotgun seat for a minute. I was like, Bo, you're going to have to hold her while I strap this seat in,
this car seat in. How fast can you change a diaper now, Bo?
Pretty quickly when I want to, like when there's a sort of rush. Yeah, I've gotten better. I know this is going to be way TMI for the audience, but I think there's a lot of people that can relate. She's going from, like runny to hardened.
Oh, okay.
Boy, I opened that thing and it was like a baby Ruth in there, like swimming in the pool. I was like, whoa! I was like, what's that?
Okay.
I apologize to you at 7:45 in the morning if you're trying to eat breakfast right now. I totally set us up for that.
How about those hot dogs at Bristol?
Yep. Let's talk about the naked hot dogs at Bristol. So there was similar weather up in Tennessee at Bristol for the Speedway Classic with the Braves Reds series finale. It was supposed to happen Saturday night. Of course, it got delayed. Would they play like one inning before they fell? If that. So it continued yesterday at 1:00, and thankfully a lot of fans did stick around. I do think if you are one of those fans that stuck around yesterday, if you are a kid or a human adult, you should get the day off today. Like, you should be able to skip work, skip school, even if it's the first day. That's my personal opinion there, because I saw a lot of kids in the stands, and you know some of them are starting school today just like your kids. But the Braves did win 4-2. It was the Eli White game, 2 homers. And he sent out the pace car. They had a home run car going around the track.
I love that, man. And I hate that you had the hiccups that you did with this event. I mean, we were watching the NASCAR race yesterday, me and some of my buddies that, you know, do the NASCAR fantasy group. And we're all like, isn't it just a NASCAR thing? Any NASCAR, even close to being sanctioned event, obviously, which the Braves game was, that it always rains. Like, every single time that NASCAR tries to do something. This happened at the L.A. Coliseum 4 years ago. This happened at the Chicago Street Race. This happened last time Bo and I went to Daytona together to try to do the 500. Like, every single time you try to do something that is involved with a NASCAR track, there is rain involved with it. And it just always happens this way.
My very first Talladega race. Very first time I went to Talladega. Literally, they go to drop the green flag. And they're going, we're going to delay the start by 2 caution laps, and then it never started.
Yep.
And ended up being racing the next day. I've been to 4 Daytona 500 weekends. 4. I've only seen 2.
Which races is crazy, because in like the first 60 years of that race, there was like one rainout. Only one.
And
so it's crazy.
You got to see one of the colder Daytona 500s in history. Both of the Daytona 500s I actually stayed for were ended up freezing cold. I think it was the first year they changed the race to Labor Day in Atlanta years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago. I went to it. Me and Amy went. Rained. Yeah. Like, I've probably been to 50 NASCAR races and probably experienced some kind of rain in half of them, I swear. Yeah. I swear to you. It's like every year. There was one weekend in Atlanta Motor Speedway that it snowed on a Friday, rained on a Saturday, and Sunday was 65 degrees and sunny. Like, it's just NASCAR has the worst luck with rain.
Well, now here's my question about this, because the rain was such a debacle with the Speedway Classic. Do you think they'll try this one again?
I genuinely hope so.
Yeah.
And honestly, what I would have done, and I'm not in charge of this for good reason, but what I would have done is I would have put a 2-game series there. I would have had the teams be off on Thursday and Sunday and had a Friday and a Saturday game. That way you do have the option, if there is rain, to kind of push the series back a little bit. But it just seems like a lot for one game. It seems like a lot. It's kind of like I said, NASCAR having the LA Coliseum race. They built a racetrack, and then they're there for, you know, one day. It's like, it seems a little ridiculous. But I think that there are so many opportunities for baseball to continue making cool events like this. It just seems like just from an operation standpoint, that things got a little sideways, and so maybe you'd have some you have some making up to do with some of the fans that were in attendance.
I think it should be a weekend.
Exactly.
Like you. I agree. I think, but the whole weekend.
I get it. There's no, like, breaking news. There's not that many hotels in Bristol, Tennessee, Bristol, Virginia, wherever, you know, things are saying. So it, I get it, but yeah.
Well, and what's insane is, if you think about it, Braves are now coming home. They're going to face the Brewers. This is the first time they've been home since before the trade deadline. I don't think they've played at Truist since July 24th. So it's been a minute since we've seen them here.
Yeah, and look, they're 14 games out of the wild card. So it's still in,
Dude, I had to look at you to make sure that you were not being serious, because I was like, buddy, it's
hold on.
What are we, August 4th?
I tell you what, if we can get this kind of production out of Eli White, two home, you know, we're on our way.
Yeah.
I mean, bring on her, you know. Now,
I had the same thought about Michael Harris. I was like, thanks, Michael Harris. Thank you for knocking the cover off the ball at, you know, August 4th.
And look, we're obviously joking around, and we're talking, we're having fun with it, because that's what. What else are we going to do at this point with this team? Let's have some fun with it. But, yeah, it was great. I'm glad the Braves won.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to pull for this team. I'm not worrying about a first-round draft pick in MLB draft next year and a draft that has, like, 800 rounds and like 730 of the players never even make the big leagues. So I'm just not worried about it.
You
and those numbers are a little bit off.
You've got to take it day by day. And not worry about the numbers, how far out they are from the wild card. I mean, we just can't look at those numbers anymore. Watch it day by day and just enjoy the day.
Well, and look, and I've told you guys a number of times, I want to know the things that are going to be happening in the next couple of months that are going to help the 2026 season. Hurston Waldrop was one of those. Michael Harris has been one of those. So I continue to try to look at it from that perspective and make sure that they're checking all the right boxes moving forward.
But, yeah, it hurt my heart a little bit when I had to release Grant Holmes from my fantasy team.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but guess what? I got an old Charlie Morton. I wonder how he did yesterday.
Well, look, I got to tell you guys about something one of my neighbors said over the weekend that I thought I was going to have to either leave or punch him in the face.
Okay.
Let's hear it, Dylan. And a reminder, as always, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Before I get to the story with my neighbor, who is from Jersey, all right, and he said something that was very Jersey-like.
That's a here.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta figure out the location of where this statement originated that he says. But before I get there, I do want to say, because I kind of teased this a minute ago, Allie was talking about going to Naked Gun over the weekend to be in a 90-minute movie. I took my kids to their first ever movie theater trip. First ever movie theater trip. We went to like an 11. We went and saw Smurfs.
Okay.
Yeah, which they didn't know much about Smurfs, but I was like, we got to get out of the house. It's raining. I'm about to lose my mind. We took them to the movie theater. They were great. Not only that, but the movie theater, we show up, there is 5 minutes of previews, and they started the movie. I was
nice.
Like, okay, smart on y'all's part. Again, Smurfs, 90 minutes. I was like, okay, this is excellent. Now, do I have any idea if they even knew what the plot was to the movie? I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe my son did. I definitely didn't. There was a lot going on with Gargamel and all the other pieces. I have no clue. All right? I'm a big fan of the Trolls movies. The Smurfs, I couldn't pick up what the heck was going on. But nonetheless, man, it was a solid outing. They ate all the popcorn, all the Skittles, everything. And my wife did bring candy in from the gas
station.
Nice.
That's
like
what you got to do.
I love it. That's what I've
done. Have to spend
done it
all
for life.
I might have actually spent more money at the concession than they did. But nonetheless, so we leave there, go hang out with some neighbors. We go to my buddy's house that's from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the third neighbor that's from Jersey, his name is Brandon, he shows up. And we're watching baseball on the TV. It's like the only sporting event that's on TV in the middle of the day on Saturday that we wanted to watch. And we're watching, I think, a Cubs game. And Brandon, in the middle of this, he's got kids that are younger than mine. Brandon says he can't wait till his son is old enough to go have a catch. Now, you're looking at me going, what's wrong with that? Do you guys call it having a catch?
No.
Isn't that what Kevin Costner says in Field of Dreams? You want to have a catch?
Dude, I was like, what did you just say? He's like, yeah, I can't wait to go have a catch. Have a catch. Then it hit me, he's from Jersey. I'm like, that must be a Jersey thing. My buddy Tyler, it's from Pennsylvania, was like, I definitely call it playing catch. I have nothing to do with having a catch. I've never even heard anybody say that. We go around the room, guy from Jersey is the only one that says having a catch. I was curious if any of y'all had ever heard anybody call it having a catch, because he stood – 10 toes down and was like, it's called having a catch, dude.
I think he
– You're not keeping – his thing was you're not keeping score. It's not playing catch.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a good way to, like, legitimize it. But I've heard have a catch. Yeah. That is not foreign to me at all.
What? I guess. No. Where did you hear
well,
this?
Well, it's in Field of Dreams. She's right. It's in Field of Dreams.
Okay. I haven't seen that in 25 years. So.
I guess I'll give Allie some audio for tomorrow. I guess I'm a simp then. I'm a simpleton. Because I just, you know, when we throw the baseball, I mean,
yeah.
I don't need to label it a catch or play catch or have a catch. I say, hey, you just want to throw the ball? I mean – And then what you know, baseball? Throw the baseball around?
I do remember watching a Chicago Cubs broadcast one time, and they were doing a Father's Day promotion where you could pay to go out to Wrigley Field and quote unquote have a catch with dad.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, what are we talking about? It's not called having a catch.
Yeah.
And if you grew up and called it having a catch, I gotta hear from you on the socials. Please. I want you to tweet me or the show at MPJohnson79 at 929 Morning Shift, and I want you to tell me where you're from that or where your parents are from that taught you how to say having a catch.
Also, you might be the one with anger issues on the show, not me, if you wanted to punch him because of this.
It made my skin crawl.
I mean, I
couldn't believe he said it. And I thought, okay, it's a northern thing. And then my buddy Tyler from Pennsylvania was like, absolutely not. I've never called it that.
It sounds like you raise your pinky if you say have a catch. Like when you're drinking tea.
Sounds like you've never watched sports in your life.
Now, are you sure that this guy's face doesn't make you want to punch him and he's saying that just kind of puts you over the edge? Or
he might be listening right now, so I'm going to say no.
If you're listening, do you have a he's probably like looking in his rearview mirror. Do I have a punchable face? I don't know.
He's Will Ferrell and separate. Is there anything I can do about that? It's just your face, man. Your face.
Let's talk about it. We want to hear from you. We've got the wake-up call coming up next, 404-726-0929. Jump on the show with us. Is it called having a catch? I mean, I swear, in Field of Dreams, that's what he says. You want to have a catch, Dad.
I can't do it.
Also, I'm curious. It is rainy this morning, and it might be the first day of school for your little ones. How are they faring at the bus stop this morning?
You know what?
They're not at the bus stop.
I think Kevin Costner had daddy issues in Field of Dreams.
I mean, that's what the movie's all about, dude. All right. And do you have any Falcons questions as we get closer to the first preseason game? 404-726-0929. Also on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. That is next with the Morning Shift. Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.